Welcome to Career Tools. This week, the biggest mistake using Desk. The questions this cast answers are, how should I use Desk? What can Desk tell me? And what can't Desk tell me? One of the results that we know will come out of the COVID-19 crisis is that people will be laid off. We already have seen that in the millions. People like you and the people you know. As well as our Frugal Living podcast that we've put out, we have a lot of other podcasts about surviving layoffs. If you go to the website, look for podcasts and then important topics, you'll find the list of COVID-19 related podcasts, including all of those about layoffs. And as well as listening for yourself, please forward that link to everyone you know, not because we need the marketing, though we suck at marketing, but we want to help as many people as possible. And layoffs are tough, and we want to help people through them. Perhaps somebody has told you to take a Desk test, or you took a Desk test because you heard us talking about it, and now you don't know what to do next. And I shouldn't refer to it as a test because there is no right or wrong answers. You can't pass or fail. It's not a test. What it is a behavioral instrument that tells you about how you behave when you're not thinking about it. And the important thing about it is it gives you insight into other people's behaviors and how you might work more effectively with them. It tells you about what they do when they're not thinking about it. It's hugely powerful. And I always say it's the biggest thing. It's the single thing that made the biggest difference in my career was understanding how other people interpreted my communication behaviors and how I could change them to communicate with other people more effectively. And that those people weren't just trying to wind me up, which is what I thought.
Yeah.
For the first 25 years of my life. And lots of people take Desk, they learn about their behaviors, and then they kind of stop there, which is a huge mistake because the important part is about other people. If you never learn this important part, then Desk will be a party trick and nothing more. So if you want to use Desk to change your career, then you need to keep listening.
We're going to talk about, it's not about you, analyze your behavior, take note of the numbers, and practice flexibility. Before we go too far into this, we do want to give kind of an overview about Desk. As Wendy said, Desk is a behavioral assessment that gives you data about the future because it is based on data from the past. Desk is the way that we define people's behavior around communication. So we say that, you know, past behavior is the best prediction of future behavior. And what Desk is saying is, I've seen this person behave a certain way when communicating in the past. And so I have some confidence that they'll likely continue to do that. There's four Desk profiles, D, which stands for dominance, which is assertive and task focused. These profiles speak loudly and quickly about work with big gestures, lots of eye contact. High I, which stands for influence. These profiles are assertive and people focused. They speak loudly and quickly about people and stories and conversational chatter. And they do so with big gestures, lots of eye contact, and very excited, animated faces. High S is steadiness. High S's are reserved and people focused, and they speak slowly and quietly with small gestures, less eye contact, and lots of long pauses about people. And these lot of names, they're often kind of the person that people go to discuss things. High C, which stands for conscientious. High C's are reserved and task focused. High C's speak less. And when they do, it's slow, it's quiet, the gestures are small, there's a lack of eye contact or very much less eye contact than other profiles. And they tend to talk about work when they talk about things. They would prefer, though, to text you or type things to you. That high C's invented email, so they wouldn't have to talk to you people. So that's kind of an overview of the profiles.
That's perfect. Okay, so now we've got that in our minds. We'll talk a bit more about the details.
We'll start with the idea that it's not about you.
Yeah, which is probably a bit confusing because you've just answered 28 questions about yourself, about what you prefer. And the report gave you a score and a letter, or more than one letter. So the scores range from 1 to 7 on the instrument that we're using right now. There are a bunch of different DISC instruments and they come out slightly differently. But if in the instrument that we use, if you're over 5, we call that a high. So a high D is someone who has over 5 in D and probably demonstrates a lot of the D behaviors. So what you've got is a score and a single letter or a letter combination, and it's all about you. And there's probably a few paragraphs that describe you, and you're thinking, I only answered 28 questions. How do they know all of this stuff about me? And now we're going to tell you it's not about you.
Yeah. It's kind of like blood type, right? That's about you. One of the things that is in your body is blood, and it has a type. So it's something to know about yourself. In the hospital, though, if a transfusion is needed for a sick patient, for yourself, your blood type isn't about you. It's about whether or not your blood type is compatible with the person who needs it. And even the other way around, like knowing your own blood type is really about us finding blood for you from others. So right. It's really about how it relates to the other people around you. It's not about you. It's really about the other person. In much the same way, DISC tells you how you behave when you're not thinking about it. And in a situation where you need to communicate with someone else, it isn't about your profile. It's about the profile of the other person and whether or not you and they are compatible. If you are, it's awesome. You enjoy those conversations probably much more. Communication's a little easier. If you're not, if you have different DISC profiles, then you need to adjust some of your behaviors to communicate more easily. This is where our analogy breaks down, because you can't change your blood type, but you can change your communication behaviors. And the reminder is still, it's not about you. It's about the other person and their profile, because the only control you have over any of this is your own behavior, right? A lot of people struggle because the idea that we have to adjust our behaviors is like adjusting our personality. And that's really not what we mean. DISC isn't a personality profile in psychological terms. It's not who you are. It's what you do. Who you are is the same, whether you're wearing a business suit or board shorts or, you know, your clothes for a wedding versus your clothes for the gym. In the same way, who you are remains the same, whether you use your naturally loud, excited voice or a quiet, more subdued voice. Think of communication as the way you show people who you are. And if that's true, then in some cases, you would want to show a person in a specific way. You'd want to, you know, present yourself a specific way in the same way that you change your clothes. Sometimes it's really helpful to be loud, and sometimes it's really helpful to be quiet. Some people are distracted by your gestures and some people are bored without them. All of the things you have internally stay the same, and how you present them can change so that people can connect with you better.
And sometimes people say, I don't want other people to know what my DISC profile is, which always makes me laugh, because I only have to read your email to know what kind of DISC profile you have, or I have to have one conversation with you because it leaks out in all of the things that you do. You know, if you know what you're looking for, you can peg anyone's DISC profile in seconds. So there is no hiding it. You can't hide the fact that you're a high D, because you stride into rooms as if you are about to own them. you can't hide that you're a high C, because you're the person who stands outside the conference room and it's 10:01 and 1 second and you're knocking on the door saying, we have this room. Like the schedule says it's our turn.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever you do, everybody knows what your DISC profile is if they know what they're looking for. So there's no hiding it.
It's not a secret.
But yeah. And you can also change it, which is really good.
For those of you who are trying to discern DISC profiles, all the raw data you need to know a person's DISC profile is on display to you all the time. It's why when we do trainings about DISC, people recognize the profiles because they know someone who behaves that way. Until now, you probably just didn't have the vocabulary to say, oh, it's this way or this way. And now that you, if you've listened to DISC, if you've learned about DISC, you will have that vocabulary. And for those of you, you know, there's that other group of people who say, well, I don't want to be put in a box. I don't want to be categorized or whatever. And while I understand that mentality, I do want to say that because there are only 4 profiles, it's a really big box.
That's true.
So it's like, you know, there are only 4. So it's a really big box to be in, since all of the world has a DISC profile. Imagine that, like, you're in a rather large box.
what's that, nearly 8 million people. So that's 2 million in each box. It's a really big box.
So it's like, yes, you're in a box, but it's the size of like, you know, the United States or something.
Yeah. And we've just said it's not about you. So what you, which box you're in is kind of irrelevant.
Yeah.
Sometimes people take the disc profile and they answer the questions thinking that they want to appear one way or another, which again is silly because we know what you are and we can tell when you've answered the questions. You know, if you've answered the questions because you think being a high I is cool and you're really a high C, we can tell because the difference between what you've answered and your behaviors are just clear. And the other thing is sometimes people answer in a way because they want to be in the middle. And being in the middle isn't any better than being at one end. It's your ability to be flexible that counts. So again, it's really not about you. It's about what you can do. So we're going to talk a little bit more specifically about the profile and understanding it before we talk about some other things that you can do once you've taken a disc profile.
Yeah, if you can't get past the idea that DISC is about you, you'll never be able to use it to maximum effectiveness. You'll only get the most superficial sliver, and you'll wonder why everyone else thinks it's so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
First step, analyze your behavior. What are your communication behaviors? There's some examples. Do you speak fast or slow? Do you make large gestures or keep your hands close to your body? Do you smile a lot or no? Do you make a lot of eye contact or less? Do you use casual or precise language? It's actually quite difficult, I think, to answer these questions from the inside. You may know that you speak quickly because other people have told you so, or because you frequently find yourself frustrated by others talking slowly, or if you interrupt people. You might have seen yourself on video and noticed how compact your arms and limbs are when you speak. The DISC instrument puts all this together for you and gives you a comprehensive profile. So it's going to help to highlight those things for you that are maybe difficult to recognize because, of course, this is your normal. Right? This is your, this is what you do naturally. So you don't see it as naturally compared to one versus the other.
It's interesting. Like the for four people I found most difficult to guess. And actually in three cases, I got it wrong, which is unusual because I've been learning this stuff for 10 years with my family, because I was so close to them. I couldn't see the behaviors. And you know, you're closest to yourself. So seeing your own behaviors is difficult. So that's why the instrument really helps.
Yeah.
And there is no judgment in any of these behaviors. There is no right or wrong because you can do anything you like if you think about it first. I'm loud by nature and people often remind me to be quiet in restaurants and things. But if I really concentrate, I can be quiet. It's just that I don't often concentrate. You know, if I speak, I also speak very quickly, but I could slow down if I knew that somebody who was talking to me has a different first language from me. At my Toastmasters group, we have a lot of people from the Indian subcontinent. And so I slow down and I use simpler words and it's perfectly possible. It's just not what I do naturally.
Mm-hmm. It takes a little bit of extra thought. On that comment you made earlier about your family, we talk about this a lot at conferences. People say, well, I can't figure out my spouse or my partner's profile. And I think it's also a function of the fact that if you see a person all the time, you see a lot more varied behaviors from them. So you're going to see all the different pieces of the ways, like because they can alter it, you'll see them alter it more often because you spend so much time with them. So I tell people, if you can't figure out your spouse, your partner, imagine them at your company Christmas party.
Right.
How do they behave? Like fast, slow? You know, are they talking to everybody? Are they making jokes? Are they in the corner speaking quietly to somebody? You can make these adjustments. And people do this all the time. They adjust all the time without thinking about it for their own specific reasons. And of course, that's more on the personality side. The value of DISC is that you now know what you do and when you're not paying attention. And knowing that, you can think about it when you're dealing with other people. That way you can be aware of situations where your tendency, your natural tendency, might not be the right thing, right? If you modify your behavior to move closer to the other person's style, you'll find that magically your relationship improves. When you meet someone that you click with, it's because they have the same style as you.
Yeah, that you have the same outlook on the world and the same things are important to you.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm working with another high D, we have a list and we're checking off that list.
Yeah.
You know, if two eyes are working together, the most important thing to them is that they're both having a good time, and they are fine with 15 minutes of chit chat before they actually do some work, which would drive me mental. If two S's are working together, their priority is that people are comfortable, that other people are okay with what's going on. So they're on the same kind of wavelength. Two high C's are about all the details. So when you're working with someone who is the same as you or very similar to you, it's really easy because you have the same priorities.
Mm-hmm. When you don't click, it's because their style is different from yours. When your communications are more similar to theirs, you'll click, even if you're not naturally like them. So if you meet someone whose tendency is different than yours, then what you can do is change your behavior a little bit, and you'll feel that click. Communication will be easier. You'll get more compliments, less complaints, more consensus, less conflict, things like that. So take a look at your own behavior and then be aware of other people's behavior, right?
And the other thing I love about DISC is you get to practice it all day long. You go to the grocery store, you can look at the grocery clerk, you can look at the other people in the store and look at what profile they are. Some people are quietly working through their list and they have a very organized list. Some people are sitting there, you know, putting into their phone that the prices of everything. Other people are chatting up every worker in the store. So you can practice in the store, you can practice when you're buying tickets, you can practice anytime there's other people. You can practice at Starbucks when you get your morning coffee. Mm-hmm. That's the best thing about DISC. You can practice all day long.
Yeah. Humans are out there and they all have a DISC profile.
One thing that licensees tell us they like most about getting show notes with each of the podcasts is that the first part of the podcast always has the show notes for all the other parts. So if you're listening to part one of a podcast and it's four parts and you're only listening, you won't find out the ending for another 3 weeks. If you had a license, you'd know today. So start influencing something new now, and in 3 weeks' time, you could be already reaping the benefits. If you go to managertools.com, look for products in the menu, and then select license.
So also, we want to take note of the numbers. Your DISC profile has four parts, a numbered score for each of the four dimensions, D, I, S, and C. Any score five or above means that that's the style you use naturally when you're not thinking about it. You might have one letter that has a score of five or more. Two is common. Three is unusual. Four is probably a faulty result, and it's because that means that you have no habits.
Mm-hmm.
Because one letter means you speak loudly, and the other letter means you speak slowly. So you're not equally likely to speak loud or slow, or loud or quiet at each time, right? You have a tendency. You're either more loud or more quiet. So those of you who have two letters usually act differently depending on the circumstances. For example, a high DI, like myself, might be all high D at work and all high I at home, or even the opposite way. A DC may look for a lot of details, and then when they're ready, make a quick decision. These are the people who have a spreadsheet for their home buying experience, but then walk into a place and buy it on the spot.
Yes. Yeah. Because they've thought through all the details, and now they have if it's got these five things, that's it.
Yeah.
I think we should also point out that you will not have zero in any of them, because we all have the ability, and sometimes we use the opposite ones. You know, if I'm having an off day and I'm in a really bad mood, I might talk more slowly, or I might, you know, be a little more subdued. I might have a lot less up and down in my voice, for example. So you don't have zero, which means the good thing about that is you do have the ability to do all of the behaviors, which is another piece of good news for you.
Yeah, you're adaptable. The numbers are really only important in what they tell you, in that they're telling you what you do when you don't think about it. For example, everybody answers the phone, right?
Well, nobody answers the phone. The millennials don't answer the phone anymore. But
well, yeah, cell phones. I saw something the other day, like we all used to be obsessed with ringtones. And now if someone's phone rings, it's unacceptable.
Yes.
However, okay, so if we're all assume everybody answers the phone at some point, each of the styles do it differently, right? A high D says, yep, or hi, or horseman, like, you know, Kate, like, just it's just me here. It's very direct. An I might say, hey, dude, what's up? So glad to hear from you. How are things going?
And then as soon as you start to tell them, interrupt you to tell them how awesome they are.
Or how awesome the ice cream they had for lunch was. Something along.
Yeah.
And S will say, hello, Julie. It's so nice to hear from you. How are you? A C might say, hello, you've reached Robert Puckett.
Because he wants to be very exact.
Yeah.
It's different from the D because it's long and precise, whereas a D is just saying, is essentially just making a noise to make the next bit of the conversation happen faster. and the difference between the I and the S is the I's usually use a lot more casual language. Mm-hmm. They say, what's up? And
I can't believe you just said, what's up? Like that. That was so awkward for me.
It was awkward for me too. But I've just proved that you can do it if you think about it hard enough. So yeah, I's use very casual language usually, and the S is much more, it's a much slower and a really sincere kind of tone. It's so nice to hear from you. How are you? You know,
there's thought, feelings, emotions in there.
Yeah.
They're paying attention. So
yeah. And if we knew your number or if we knew your profile, we could predict which way you would answer the phone. And alternatively, if we heard you answer the phone, we could predict what your numbers or what your score is.
Yeah. The numbers and letters are a shorthand for talking about DISC profiles. They're the bit that's about you. And once you have this baseline of the numbers, you can get to the next part, the most important part, which is practicing adjusting your behaviors. So, of course, our next recommendation is to practice flexibility. The numbers are not what's important about DISC. Where you are is interesting and a helpful baseline, but really it's not the most important thing. What really is important is practicing flexibility. The more flexible you can be in your communication style, the easier you'll find communication. Of course, the more flexible you are around other humans, that's often true, right?
Yeah.
But we can talk again about answering the phone, right? Like, no matter your style, you now know how a high D answers the phone. So when a high D calls you, answer the phone in the same way. Say, yep, or hello, or Kate, or whatever. A D won't think this is rude. They won't think it's short. They'll feel like a sigh of relief that they can get straight to the point without having to like listen to all those other words that some people use. In the same way, answering, hey, what's up, to an I makes them feel like you're kindred souls, you know, sunshine in the sea of gray corporate suits.
Everybody's so boring, and now you're not.
Yeah. And that's something they value, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we want to reflect back to them that the things that are important to them are the things that are important to us, which I think internally for many of us, the things that are important to us in our hearts on the inside, you know, in our beliefs and cares are the mm-hmm. same. It's just, it's hard to tell that from the way other people communicate. So with a high S, you'd speak slowly, make sure to listen to their answer. Don't interrupt. They'll probably ask how you're doing too. And for a C, again, speak slowly, speak clearly, be accurate, but not short. Each of the styles will have their own little sigh of relief. They feel like a, you know, a hurdle, a roadblock has been removed from them because there's someone on the other end of the phone that understands them, someone willing to go out of their comfort zone to make the other person more comfortable. And actually, I don't even know that people experience it that way as much as they just experience it as, oh, okay, I don't have to think about this greeting. Because I think a lot of times, like, we're moving so fast, we're talking so fast, people aren't really listening as well as they always could be, especially if you're not expecting the other person's greeting to be different. So mm-hmm. if you get somebody on the phone and their greeting's different from yours, your brain has to, like, pop back. Like, yes. Oh, okay, wait, that's not, you know, we're going to do it. We're doing it differently. Then you have to think about what you're, like, change your mindset a little bit.
And a lot of the time people don't express things as, oh, I felt like they talk the same way as I do, or they answer the phone the same way as I do. But if somebody else asks them, what's it like working with Kate? They'd say, oh, it's really easy. I feel like we get on, or I feel like we approach work the same way.
Yeah.
So often people cannot get down to the detail of there's something about the way that she answers the phone that makes me feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And often it's like, oh, I like working with that person.
Yeah, because other people aren't thinking as much in terms of behaviors. They're thinking about how they feel about your behaviors And so they don't think to themselves like, oh, they said this and I would say the same thing. But then there's all kinds of ways people describe it, like, oh, we're simpatico because, mm-hmm. you know, they said what I was thinking or whatever. And often it has to be for a person to feel that you said what they were thinking, it has to be in the same words because mm-hmm. as a high D, I can tell you, I used to work with this guy, Porter, who's super smart, really great. And he and I used to have these, what would I from afar look like an argument about how to proceed on things. And it was like, they were always about 20 minutes. And then at the end of the 20 minutes, we'd realize we're saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We just weren't like always saying it exactly the same way because he was much more high D than me. And I had some more high I and he had some high C. So just that blending made it hard. So communicating in a way that the other person can understand, of course, that makes sense. And DISC is a way of communicating in a way that's familiar and understandable to the other person.
So each of the styles has their own way of looking at the world, which is a combination of their place on two axes. So at the beginning, Kate talked about assertive and reserved and people focus and task focus. So there are two axes. There's a continuum between people focused and task focused, and everybody falls somewhere on that continuum, and another continuum that's assertive on one end and reserved on the other, and everybody falls somewhere on that continuum. And then for DISC, we combine the two, and that gives us the letter style.
Yeah. A D is assertive and task focused, which leads to a communication style, which is fast and to the point. An I is assertive and people focused. They're fast as Ds, but more interested in people than tasks. An S is reserved and people focused. They speak more slowly and care that people are taken care of. A C is reserved and task focused. They speak slowly, but they want to get tasks done.
And that tells you how to work with each of them. So a D is fast and to the point. So the way to work with a D is get straight to the point. And sometimes when in conferences, we have, we practice email and we practice answering different DISC styles, emails, and the D one, people often say, oh, that person's angry. And they're not angry. They just want to get straight to the point. So be careful not to read into people's behavior emotion, because you will read the emotion that you would have and not the emotion that they're having. So people Absolutely. Will think, oh, I would feel angry if I wrote that email. If I had written that email, I would be feeling angry. But a D writing that email isn't feeling angry.
Right.
So D, get straight to the work. And I, you have to loosen up, you have to have some fun, and then you do the work.
S's enjoy gentle chit-chat, and then once you're comfortable, do the work. C's go slow enough to be accurate and don't sway from the task.
It's hard to change your natural style all at once because you've been doing it naturally all your life.
It's habitual.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we say it's just who I am, because it's so ingrained in us to behave one way.
Yeah.
And it's also why we say you can behave any way you like if you think about it first, because if you don't think about it, you'll just go back down your own habitual thing. It has to be conscious effort, at least in the beginning. So if you think about the next meeting that you're going to have, think about one person in that meeting. What's that person's style? Are they assertive or reserved? Are they task-focused or people-focused? And if you can just get through the greeting the way they would, they will feel warmer to you, and together you'll get more done. It's literally magic.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's great. And y'all, you don't have to worry about your acting. This is not about acting. You'll never be another style. But you can behave like you are in situations. You just have to keep reminding yourself. Just pay attention to your behaviors, the sound of your voice, the way you move your arms, your eye contact, those things. Just think about it.
This guidance was designed just to give you an idea of, if you've just taken DISC, what do you do next? What was the point of taking it? How's it going to help me? And it's just the surface of everything you can learn about it. And there's much more you can learn about your style and how that differs from other people. We talk about some very obvious behaviors, but there's some less obvious ones and some more kind of niche ones that don't come up every day. You can learn about how other people view you and change accordingly. And you can learn to behave in any style, in any situation. And knowing and understanding this could transform your career. And I know it because that's what happened to me. And we get so many emails from people who say, DISC is a revelation. Like, this person I've been fighting with all year, all of a sudden we can work together. Mm-hmm. And I, you know. So as a next step, if you go to the website and you go to podcasts and then all podcasts, if you find this podcast, then there will be links to other podcasts about DISC. So we would suggest you go and look at Pay Attention to Behaviors. That's another cast that's about the beginning of DISC. If you want to know more, you want to learn it more in depth, we have in-person training, our Effective Communicator Conference, and we also have that training on video, so you can purchase those. And we don't often do an ad for products, but if you have any questions, customerservice@manager-tools.com.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Kate. I love talking about DISC. That was fun.
Me too. Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic.